2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to preach something today that I'm going to call Don't Lose Faith in the Oil. Don't Lose Faith in the Oil. Been gone so, I thank God for the Word of God. I had a lot of time to study and meditate so many different things, and I've been trying to discern what messages were for me, what messages were for us as a church body, but this is where I think we're going to go today, and next week we'll start looking at maybe some thoughts about the birth of Christ, because Jesus is the Savior of the world, you know, but thank God for salvation and the riches we have in through the Lord Jesus Christ. But, excuse me, 2 Kings chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God, that it does say this. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in thine house. And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So he went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God today. We thank you for loving us so much that you would create us, and you allow us to get to know you. And we thank you that your design is and your desire is that we walk with you and talk with you, and that through Jesus Christ, the original walk that Adam and Eve have, we could be restored. We thank you for such a glorious and wonderful desire. And Father, I pray that you revive our hearts today and keep those hearts that are revived, keep them revived. And Father, I pray you'll use this message to allow us in a greater way to go reach some soul that does not know you. Bless now, magnify yourself through preaching, and glorify yourself through hearing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love reading about the kings, 1 and 2 Kings in the Bible, reading about Elijah and Elisha. You know, one amazing thing you'll find about Elisha, you know, and he followed Elijah until the end, you know, and he ended up asking for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And I remember Elijah said, this is a hard thing. And I thought about that passage through the years. He wasn't saying it was hard to do, because there's nothing too hard for God. But to walk in that, you know, because when Elijah got that double portion, he did not necessarily get an easier life. He was placed in a more situation where the supernatural mighty hand of God will be needed. We find ourselves studying about a woman here. If you're taking notes mentally or physically, first thing I want you to take notice of is, number one, the critical situation. The critical situation. In verse number 1, the Bible says, Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. First thing I want you to notice is, number one, debt problems are nothing new. Here it is, this debt right here. Her husband has served the Lord, and he has some creditors. And this had to be some serious bills, because, I mean, these bills are so serious that the creditor was going to take her two sons. And this was kind of the way it took place in that day. You had to serve. You'd be a bond servant until your debts were paid. You know, they have things. There's actually a thing that I heard of it. They have something called debtor's prison. You can actually go to a certain prison if you don't have to pay your debts, and they get them. But I've had been in debt, but I haven't been in prison yet. Praise God for that. But we see the debt problem of nothing new, and also we see that what had happened to this widow here, the normal cultural way of provision is over. The normal cultural way of provision is over, because generally the men provided the main state of the living, because this is what was taking place here, and so she's in a situation where the way she could normally have her needs taken care of That's over, and that can never be restored. And so now she needs some help that's beyond human instrumentation. She needs some help from God Himself. And also we see in this critical situation, we see the reality of a world without mercy. The reality of a world without mercy, because, okay, it's bad enough this widow lost her husband. And the creditor has no mercy. And he's, well, I don't care that your husband's dead. Y'all owe me some money, and your sons are going to be my servants. They're going to be my slaves until his debt is paid. This is the world without mercy. And the world, you know why the world, you know, the world likes to receive mercy? Because, you know, that's received better than you deserve. You know, I worked at the Sheraton Hotel for a while, and I took people to the airport, and generally you would get a tip. It was kind of an unwritten rule you would get a tip if you took people to the airport. Now I got a salary, but really a tip is really optional. You know, because part of the booking of the hotel, it comes as free transportation to the airport. And so really, anytime somebody gives you a tip, you should be thankful, whether it be a little or a lot. But, you know, it's amazing. I found myself different times counting the number of passengers on that 12-passenger van. I thought, oh, this is going to be good. And it wasn't always good. But I began to develop an expectation that I would receive something more than what I actually agreed to do the job for. And like I said, I like to receive above what I was even agreed to, but then I have to remember now in my life I always try to tip graciously if some of the demands a tip. Every time if I do take a shuttle and the guy drives, I always get tipped good. I always remember that. But we need to be merciful. But the world wants to receive better than they deserve. But they don't always want to give better than they deserve. Isn't it amazing how we can hold people accountable for things and be judgmental and cruel? But this is part of our critical situation where we live in. Next, we see that faithful people are not immune to hopeless situations. Faithful people are not immune to hopeless situations. Because this is a widow. And notice her testimony here. Thy servant, my husband, is dead. I'm still looking at verse 1. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. You know, people that serve the Lord and they actually even fear God, sometimes they have some problems. Sometimes, and often they have some big problems. So you and I can be involved in critical situations, but we see here that there's help when we turn to God. What Satan generally wants us to do is turn away from God in these critical situations and try to handle it on our own strength and our own power and our own might. But no, we need to turn to God. Just like we mentioned Richard, you know, like I said, Richard is one of the most faithful people I've met since I've been in Toronto, and look at what he's going through. You know, God's in his grace, and he'll use it for his good. Now, number two, I want you to notice the prophet's examination. The prophet's examination. In verse number 2, the Bible says, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? I said, what do you want from me? Now, she's come to the prophet, looking for help, looking for answers. He asked her two main questions. What shall I do for you? Then he asked her a question, what do you have of value? What do you have in your house of value? Because then he says, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now in the Bible, oil is typology and also many times typology of the Holy Spirit. And you know, as we serve the Lord, you know, you may get in a situation where you don't have financial help, you don't have physical help. If you're a born-again child of God, you may look at your life. You may need a miracle today. And you may think, all I have in here is just the Holy Ghost, just the oil. But that's, you know, but don't give up on the oil. Don't lose faith in the oil. Because the Holy Spirit is more powerful than ever possibly imagined. You know, that's why the Bible says, you know, I've been praying heavily in returning back to Toronto, looking forward to the ensuing battle. Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers. I know that the satanic forces of hell right now are trying to keep people in bondage to hell and trying to send people to hell. And you know, and it's amazing. I'm warned now. I said, God, would you just rebuke the devil? You know, because see, the reason some people say lost, they think it's some individual battle. The reason I've kept some people lost, because I thought it was an individual battle. But see, it's a battle with the forces of darkness. Isn't it amazing how in the world we glorify these? Now, they don't always call them satanic, but the Harry Potter stuff, these evil forces, they whatever. I don't know. Harry Potter didn't represent Satan, does he? Or anybody know anything about him? I don't know. I think he's supposed to be the good guy, but he's the good wizard or whatever he is. But most of these new battles, it's like Star Wars. There's the dark side and there's the force, I guess. I don't know how it works, but exactly. I watched it years ago, but I'm not sure the mechanics of it. But what I do know is this: they never say one Satan. They just say make it something trivial. So people are enthralled and actually enjoy and excited about a battle of good versus bad. But then it's amazing how deceptive Satan is, because then he gets people enthralled in all these dark battles. But then when it comes to the battle over somebody's soul, he keeps them so dark that they don't even realize that there is a real war going on. You know, and people are drawn to the movie screen or whatever screen. And even myself, I liked Star Wars when I was younger and looking at those things. And of course, I'm a guy. Like I said, I was a fighter before I got saved, so I like a good fight. And the thing about these battles going on, and then as a child of God, we really have a warfare. And lives really are, just look at the world. You know, my wife and I were talking about this morning, and even with some of the children, the number of suicides that are happening, you know. And I listened to a certain program from a church in New York City, and they have a prayer ministry on Tuesdays. And they were talking about, in fact, there was a prayer request sent in from London, Ontario, about a believer in a church considering hanging themselves because they got to a point that low. And you know, that's a satanic battle that Satan is trying to destroy in your mind. And so the prophet examines her. He said, what do you have of value? So if you're a born-again child of God, don't discount the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Luke chapter 11 just for a moment. A familiar passage of Scripture, if you've been in the Bible a little bit. But Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And the disciples here were wanting some assistance in prayer. I know we looked at this before, but it's good stuff every time. Luke 11 says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, so in heaven. As in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. This is a good prayer. This teach you how to give mercy. One of the reasons I'm so merciful is because of this prayer, you know. Because I forgive everyone that's offended me. When I think about this, I forgive everyone that's even indebted to me. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? And say unto him, thank you, Father. Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Verse number 4, good, by prayer, I have nothing to set before. That's why you pray, you have nothing. Reason, many times, the time in my life when I don't pray is because I think I can handle it. When I get to this place, I have nothing. You know, I have nothing that can change Parkdale. I have nothing that can bring any lost soul to Christ. I have nothing that can change the mind of a hardened believer. I have nothing that my Father does. And that's who I pray to. I have nothing to even keep myself in the faithful walk with God. But God does through His Holy Spirit. That's why He put it in me. So as I depend upon that, the temperance, the goodness, the faith, you know, all the things that happen, you know, that I do, I stated before, but anything I do that's right, it comes from God. Verse 7, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he as needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and see, this is for a child of God. Because, you know, I help some people, and I'll help other people's children. But see, there's a limit to what I do for somebody else's child compared to my own. And so many people that don't know God, they try to pray and they wonder why things aren't happening, because you have to be born again. You must be born again for this to actually make a difference in your life. And it says here, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, I think that might actually happen today, because people do some bizarre things to their children today. But Jesus is talking about in a normal context, a loving father, because God is a perfect father, you know. Because, you know, it's amazing. It used to be only fathers that ran away from their children. But, you know, there's a huge number of mothers that are just running away from their kids, leaving their home, and now we're living a generation and people don't even want to have children because they see no purpose. You know, I was talking to somebody, a young person one day, and they said, oh, I don't want to have any kids. I said, do you not like your life? Do you not think you're special? I said, why would you not want somebody else like you? And to know, to get an opportunity to know God. And so, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more show your heavenly Father, and here it is, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. See, we think about talking about the oil. Don't lose faith in the oil. You know why some battles you can't get over is because you need the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you need the Holy Spirit's help to get over that. You know why there's some things you can't get past? You know why parts of the Christian life seem impossible? If you're born again, it's because you must ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. You know, it's just like a newborn babe. You know, God never wants us to leave that intimate relationship in need of Him. You know, when you have a young child, you need help. The child needs help. And the child is expected to call upon the father and call upon his parents for assistance, you know. And God expects you to call upon Him for assistance. But, you know, again, through our religious world of distraction, where we keep this certain number of principles intact, and we must be okay. No, the spiritual things are the difficult things, the love, the joy, the peace. Isn't it amazing? You can't make those things happen. The Bible says those things are fruit. You must ask the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing? There's a great number of things you and I can try to give ourselves love, joy, peace, goodness. But until it comes from within, man, it's just not there. And you'll just try this for a while, and I'll try this for a while, I'll try that for a while. But man, when I ask the Father, for the Holy Spirit, how much more does the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit than to ask Him? Then when the Holy Spirit comes, guess what? Then the fruit comes, the peace comes, the joy, the meek, the goodness, the temperance, the faith, all those things that God wants us to have. Back in our text, in 2 Kings chapter 4, so the prophet examination. He said, what do you want from me, and what do you have of value? He said, the only thing I have is this. I don't have anything in my house except a pot of oil. Number three, I call this the ridiculous instruction. The ridiculous instruction. Because faith often doesn't make sense. In fact, the Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The things we do, the foolishness of preaching. Now, then, notice the instruction here. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, not a few. So I think about it. Number one, he says, go into further debt and go borrow. Go borrow some vessels. Now, she's in trouble because they have debts to pay, and they're going to take her children away. And so his instruction being, you go further in debt and borrow more vessels. And then he says, and I like this. This really helped me, because this is where we get our vision for our church. And he says, pour out your only thing of value into something else that is empty. Pour out your only thing of value into something else that is empty. Because he told her, the bar of the empty vessels, notice verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So they weren't. She wasn't supposed to borrow vessels. She had to borrow empty vessels. You know what will cause your Christian life to grow? If you're sitting here and all you got left is the Holy Spirit, if you're born again and you know you're saved, and maybe you don't feel like you have a glowing testimony, you know, maybe you don't really feel like God's doing much in your life right now, maybe the only thing you have left is you feel like, I know I'm saved and the Holy Spirit's inside of me. You know what God is saying? He said, go find an empty vessel and go pour that Spirit into somebody else. Go pour that Holy Spirit, not your Spirit, not my Spirit, but go find an empty vessel and you pour that Holy Spirit into as many empty vessels as you can find. And guess what? They're everywhere. It's amazing. I went to the gym with my brother one morning and I was the person behind the counter. I said, you may think I'm crazy, but I said, can I pray for you about anything I can? I said, I'm just a born again child of God. Is there anything I can pray for you about? She bowed her head. She said, anything you want. I said, what's your name? And I said, you want me to pray when I leave or now? He said, you can pray now if you want. So I prayed right there with her in the gym right before I left. And every time I went back, you could tell she was glad to see me walk in there. I don't know if she had a good day or not. When I prayed, I said, Lord, I'm from Canada. I may never see this person again. I don't have any motive except for her to know you and to know your power and to know what you can do in the lives of anybody that will trust you. I've done that to a number of people, and said that, and they said, no, I won't think you're crazy. Go ahead and pray. And because there are empty vessels all around us. We need to find some empty people, and even I continually work with Warren, the Holy Spirit knows when I've been gone in a period of time because Warren always calls right when it's about time for me to come home. I always know when it's time to be back because Warren calls. He'll be disappeared for a while. And I thought he was going to be here today, but he called me. So, and I believe Warren's going to get born again. I mean, even like I said, I think even your family, I don't think they're as hard as Warren is. And I believe God's going to do it. I mean, I really believe that, but we have to look at in their emptiness. Now catch this now. In their emptiness, we don't pour religion in the emptiness. We pour the Holy Spirit in there. And we pour the love. When the world's in disarray, we pour the joy in there. When they're cursing us and despitefully using us, we pour the love in there. We pour the goodness. We pour the temperance. When they're all out of control and have no self-control, we pour in the temperance. And then when they are living when it looks like they have absolutely no hope, and it looks like they have absolutely no interest in God, man, that's when you pour into faith. And that's when your testimony is like you said this morning, that God can save anybody. And I tell you, I can't think of it. I heard some other amazing testimony on the way, but he said, pour out your only thing of value into something that is empty. And may I be honest with you, as a child of God, that really is, the Holy Spirit really is your only thing of value. Now, hold your place here just a second. I know you know this, but I'm just going to read this. I want you to look at this and see this. And if you're born again, I want you to think about what's going on here. Galatians chapter 5, you know this, you know these fruits. But here's this is the deception of Satan. We take these attributes to ourselves. We think we do. Like I told a lady this morning, I heard her say something about, she said, I don't run unless my life is in danger. I said, yeah, I feel you there. I know what you're talking about. I said, praise God. Because she said she was 71. I said, well, praise God. Look like God gave you good health. And she said, what do you mean, praise God? And I said, my parents made me. I said, no, they didn't. I said, God made your parents. And I said, man, I'm not going to argue with her. I said, I'm just praising God. You got good health. She said, you're right. Praise God. But I mean, we easily try to take our attributes and the things that get us good for other people. We take it to ourselves. In verse number 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. If anybody's ever been thankful for us being a loving person, it's because the Holy Spirit of God helped us do that. The joy, happiness can be faked. I used to fake happiness, it's amazing how with the whatever the photo life we live in, you can go on a holiday and you take all these wonderful pictures and here and here and here, and you had an absolutely miserable time. But it looks like everybody else that you had a great time because you only take these photos at appropriate moments.
And I take them too now. I'm not criticizing, but I'm just telling you. Anybody ever have a terrible day, but your photo ops, everybody thought that person is blessed. I mean, I've been there. I'm telling the truth. But what I'm saying is that the joy comes from God. Happiness, we can fake all that stuff. You know, we project an image of what we like to be, but the peace, we can pretend like we have peace. We can act like, it didn't bother me what you said. I've heard this. I've said it. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. But you're lying. Because you don't have peace. You know what your heart's saying. Well, I don't care if anybody likes me or not. I've said that before too. And guess what I like to be like? I was lying. Just like every other person said that. I care. You know. But peace, you can't make that happen. This is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Long suffering. You know, you don't have the ability to be patient with somebody. That comes from God. God does that. And because just when you think you are long suffering, God will send something your way to let you find that you're not long suffering. And will take you to above that where you realize, oh Lord, I gotta have some help. I only thought I was patient. Gentleness. Now this is important. The servant of the Lord must not strive. But we have to teach. See, gentleness, that's the fruit of the Spirit. The reason, that's just not me. Well, you're right. That's not me, that's Spirit. The reason that so many people are gentle, because it's not you. And it's not me. That's Holy Spirit. That's something God does. Gentleness. So many people pop off and crash, and so many relationships are hurt. People wounded. I know I wounded Susan earlier in our marriage because I didn't have the fruit of gentleness. If it came in my mind, I felt it had to come out. But sometimes, and actually oftentimes it's not. If you give somebody a piece of your mind, that's where they get a piece of your mind. Giving somebody a piece of your mind will ruin your peace of mind. And their peace of mind often as well. But gentleness, that's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, a lot of parents can't do it because they need the Spirit to help to do it. A lot of husbands can't do it. A lot of wives can't do it because they need the Spirit of God to do that. Goodness. Just to do good. Isn't it amazing? You know, you're thinking, well, this is how we get around doing good. We define what good is. It's not what thus saith the Lord. It's what we determine to be good. And then last of all, faith. And faith, I remind you, faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, this is what we need to pour out into the people. This is what we need to ask God help for. And meekness. Meekness is placing yourself lower and putting others above yourself. And see, that's total contrary to the world's philosophy. Everybody's trying to get theirs. I'm going to get mine. Temperance, that's self-control. You know, just when you think you have it, you don't. Against such there is no law. Think about this. There's no law against all these things. Except, you know, well, the only law against that, these all violate the law of selfishness. Because when you say you get the meekness and the temperance, these violate. But I tell you, when you realize that Holy Spirit oil, see this, you know, is this a good attribute to have? Wouldn't it be good to have peace, and wouldn't it be responding in love, you know, and in different situations? And people think this is impossible. You know why? Because they won't ask the one that has it that can give it to them. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Next time you don't want to be gentle, why don't you think about asking the Holy Spirit, would you help me to be gentle? Next time you don't want to be good. Because sometimes we just don't want to be good. Am I the only one? Is that right? Sometimes we just don't want to be good. So sometimes we just ask, Father, would you give the Holy Spirit help to help me be good? Sometimes we don't want to have faith. Even though we know the Bible, we know it's the substance, but there's a part of us sometimes, I just want to see it. I want to know. I want to see it. I want to be able to handle it. But thank God we just ask and He'll help us. And here's this widow here. She's in a situation. Her sons are in jeopardy. And God, the prophet says, go get some empty vessels, take that small or that one pot of oil, and you pour the only oil you got into every empty vessel you can find. And so, or a preacher, or God, I'm empty. I'm struggling. I'm looking. I don't have these truths in my life. I know I'm your child, but I don't see any of this in me. Well, ask God to allow the Holy Spirit within you to find, to pour it into somebody else. And you've been made that. I had a fantastic phone call. Somebody I've been trying to reach for years while I was away, and they had been having had some just terrible times, and God just step by step is making their life better. And every time this person makes your next step, they call me. He said, I just want you to know, because you were there when I was in a hospital. You were there to help me. And you were there at this step. You were there to go to court with me. You were there with this. And every step. And then I just want to thank you. He said, we're almost home. We got one more step left. You know, and we can be a family now. We're just so excited. And he's thankful to have me pray for him. You know, I'm just hoping this person will be born again. At the end of the day, when I talk to him, I say, praise God. God is able. Man, God's answering prayer. I'll keep praying. You know, and man, I'm so glad you called me. I'm so glad to be a part of your life. God's working. And even in my emptiest times, I try to pour out that into other people. Under this ridiculous instruction, we go back to Kings now. Follow God's instructions, knowing that you don't have the ability to finish to do what he told you to do. Now, this is ridiculous. Because she's got one pot of oil. And she knows that within her own capability, there's no way possible for her to finish what God told her to do. Is that right? Because he said, go borrow vessels, and not a few. Take this pot of oil and pour it out into all the vessels. And what? Okay, one pot. And I would imagine, even if she just brought it, she's got several pots, but imagine there probably had to be one pot, maybe even bigger than the one she had that had the oil in it. And God says, okay, I have something for you to do, and I know that within yourself it's impossible for you to do it. That's ridiculous. In our minds, that's ridiculous. That's why many people don't really even try to serve God. Because think about everything I just read about the Holy Spirit. Many people, they see all those attributes and they don't even ask God for Holy Spirit help. They just divert from all God's instructions. And, well, because it's not in me to do that. We say, well, that's not me. Well, none of us are called to be me. We're called to be the person God made us to be. And a lot of times, when we think who me is, we don't really know who me is unless we talk to the one that made us. You know, it's amazing how we try to define ourselves and we try all these things. But God wants from each of us, his instructions for us are something that he knows that we're not able to do. You know, and many people, I realize this in my own life. A lot of times when I thought I failed, I really didn't fail. I just quit before I was finished. You know, and many people, there's a lot of things that, even in this room, there's gifted and talented people, every single one. But there's some things some of you will never try because you don't think you can do it. And you'll stay within your own realm of comfortable gifts and talents. But when the Spirit of God leads you to do something that you don't really, that maybe is out of your area of expertise, your comfort zone, you won't even try. Because because God is giving instructions that you know that you can't finish. That's what's happening here. He gives this widow instructions that she knows that she can't do it. But guess what? God knows that too. And that's what he told us. He said that God did it. Amen. The things you need to be a faithful, you know, that's all God required, isn't it? Moreover, brother, it is required of stewards that the man be found faithful. That's all God wants. And you can't even be faithful. I can't even be faithful. And God knows that. But he said, if you'll just start pouring out, I'll keep your vessel full. One of the most amazing things ever happened when we were on what's called deputation, when I was a traveling evangelist preaching all over the United States. And the van we had, there was a hole in the radiator. And, man, it was just gushing water at the bottom. In fact, I remember getting a jug of water. We had 300 miles to go to get to the next place. A man in a church had located a radiator for us. And so as I was pouring water in the radiator, I could see it coming right out of the bottom. I mean, that's how fast water was coming out. I mean, it was just gushing. I remember I drove I drove 100 miles, and I thought, man, I got to get ready to put some more water in this radiator. And I opened it and it cooled off, and you could see it coming out of the bottom. I opened the cap of the radiator. You know what? It was full. I was like, woo! I closed it. I drove another 100 miles. I mean, and just still. I mean, and when you drive, you know, you can see the line. You ever had one? Maybe see, you don't feel nothing. I tell my children, you need to drive junk at least one point in your life. Everybody needs to drive some junk. You know, it's you just get spoiled in this new stuff. But you drive, sometimes you drive, you see that line of cars, you know, line of water. And I got to the next spot, and I opened that up, thing again, and it was still full. And God got us at 300 miles, and He even provided the money for a radio. I stopped in the Wendy's to buy something to eat, and some teenage boy, you know, gave me a $100 bill. I talked to his family, I witnessed to them, and I told them they were missionaries going to Canada or something, or going somewhere to preach. I didn't say we had a car problem. I didn't say we had any trouble at all. And we leaving the Wendy's, and the boy started, "Sir, wait. I got something to give you." And I said, I'll wait. It was $100 bill. That's what God does. He said, go this direction. And He knew that we couldn't do it. He knew we couldn't make it. But I had just enough oil to trust Him. And even in the midst of that, I could have been sitting there worried, no, this isn't fair, man. How come we can't have a new car like some missionaries do? We started deputation. We didn't even have a cell phone. I'm traveling over the United States, and I didn't have a cell phone. I knew these other missionaries had cell phones. Some of them had laptops. And man, that's just back before smartphones. But I didn't. We traveled 6 months before we even got a cell phone. And I could have been mother government griping, but all I saw was another family. Guess what? They needed some oil poured in them. And I tried to talk to them about Jesus, and they were encouraged just as I talked to them about Jesus. You know, just like you heard. Yoda, you're saved, aren't you? Amen. Yeah. But she was just happy to talk to somebody else that was saved. And that encouraged her day. And I met these, and they were just happy to talk to another believer. And both of them probably got encouraged, got a little more oil, you know. And who knows what the battles and discouragement they even go through. But God just lifted them both up. And of course, all in, even in a difficult situation, God said, I got some more stuff for your journey. Now, here's another thing about the ridiculous instruction. And this is why many people that actually desire God and want to be faithful, this is why you never will do it. This notice right here, or you have trouble doing it. He says, don't let anybody else see what you're doing. Because notice in verse number, let me get back to Kings here. In verse 4, now when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. This is why a lot of people struggle with their faith, because God will speak to them about something, and then they're trying to get some. They run the idea by somebody else about what God wants them to do, looking for some encouragement from another human individual. And if you really are born again, you know when God told you to do something, and you just need to do it. And you need to go shut the door upon yourself and whoever may be involved, and you just trust God. Because, hey, mom wants us to borrow some vessels for you. From what for? Well, she's got an empty vessel, and she's got one little pot of oil. She wants to fill all these vessels. What? No, I imagine they probably said, Mom, our mother wants to borrow some vessels, and she brought all the vessels in, and she didn't gather here. Hey, come here. Let me tell you what the prophet told me. No, he said, go shut the door. Because faith is personal. You got to make a personal decision. The strength of your faith is, if your strength of your faith is based on what other people do, you'll never have a strong faith. The most powerful moments of faith you ever live, when you go somewhere and shut the door. Because you know what? You know why most people never serve God? Because they're looking to the left and the right and decide who's going to serve God. What you have to do is you have to go in the closet and shut the door. And you say, God, I'm all yours no matter what. And then you come out and you start living that. And guess what? Some will be with you, some won't. But you still all completely belong to God. And whether the criticism, whatever goes on, you won't care. Because you went in the door and shut the closet. And know what you know most of all?
is when you start pouring out the oil, the oil stays. The oil stays. Because when she shut that door up on the house, yeah, there was a creditor out there that had no mercy. Yes, there are unbelievers out there. Yes, there are people that had no interest in God. Yes, there are no people, but when she's in that house with her sons and she's pouring out the oil, and the oil is staying. Those boys knew that God was real. Now, they've made their own personal choice later, but they knew that God was real. And I think of the number of miracles that I've seen in my life. I think we're getting ready to come here, and I was out trying to check someone in the car, and the jack collapsed on our van and pinned me to the ground. And Susan was very pregnant with Karen Micah, and Sam, I think, was 4 at that time, maybe. And how does a 4-year-old boy, how old were you? You were 6? Okay, how old are you now? We've been here 17 years? So 6, about 6 years old, 5, 6. And so at 5 or 6, Samuel jacks up the car primarily by himself because Susan couldn't do it. And God does things like that. You know, God told me, I said, just very quietly, go and tell Mama that you need her to get the van off her top of me. And Sue said he came in, kind of his chest off, trying to be the man. Papa says you need to come help get the van off of him. And God did it, you know, and that's ridiculous, you know. I mean, but God does those things. So, you know, when God speaks to you, this is what a different time we have with all invitations. So you can come decide what God spoke to you about. You know, because like I said at the beginning, I know I can't build this church by myself. I need help to do it. But it can only be done by people who are willing volunteers. But at the same time, the only willing volunteers that will be of help are the ones that, in their own closet, they determine that they know what God told them to do. They go shut the door, and they make that private decision of faith to start pouring out. I'm in Canada because I made a private decision of faith. So God, whatever you want, I'm going to do it. And then when people criticized me, said I would never get here, it didn't matter because I told God I was coming. I told God I was obeying. And even times when the devil said, you just need to quit, you know, I said, but no, I told God I'd obey him. I told God I'd be faithful. Yeah, but you failed here, you failed there. Yeah, but I told God I wouldn't quit. I told God I would keep striking the ground with arrows. That's another passage. But anyway, but don't let anybody see what you're doing. This is part of the ridiculous instructions, you know. That's why your prayer closet matters. That's where you'll get the victory. That's where you get the filling of the Spirit. Go through the Father in the closet. So, Father, you know all these spiritual things in my life that are lacking. And you said, if just like a son, if he asked for bread, no earthly father would give him a stone. Father, I need the Holy Spirit because, you know, it's funny we talk about attention spans. You read all these things, but because of our cell phone generation, you know, we can't focus. We can't keep our minds stable on anything any period of time. We can't shut our minds down. And that's a spiritual problem. That's not a discipline problem. It's a spiritual problem. You just have to say, Father, I need you to give me the Holy Spirit to help me focus on the things that really matter in this life. And Father, since you're the one that made me, I believe you can do it. I trust you to do it. Last of all, faithful demonstration. This part is easy. The widow demonstrated her faith. She did what the prophet said. She took the vessels. And she began to pour them out with her sons. You know, I wonder how this all took place. You know, she got this pot of oil, and I don't know. She shut the door for her sons, and apparently, you know, because at the end he said, "Bring me another vessel," and they said, "There's not a vessel more." And she started pouring it out, and she filled that first vessel, and she was, whew. "There's something in here," and she said, "Boy, did you see that?" And she pours it into another one.
And they're all looking, they're watching that flow. And why is that one not getting empty? Why is it hey, bring me another vessel. And now she's got the drift that God is doing exactly what he said he would do. And she pours that another. Hey, bring me another vessel. And she pours out the oil again. Hey, bring me another vessel. And her son finally says, hey, there's not a vessel more. And then they're wondering, can this really last? And the Bible says, and the oil stayed. That means it wasn't some temporary fix. It was a permanent fix. The Bible says nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And when you're born again, nothing shall separate from the love of Christ. That oil that he put in you, God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never abandon you. So don't lose faith in the oil. I say that oil that, you know, it's amazing. The devil is such a quitter. Because, you know, he's in jeopardy because he quit worshiping God. And so he wants you to quit worshiping God. He wants you to quit following God. And he wants to use you to take as many people. He wants to use you and I to keep as many people away from God as possible. But God wants to use us just to worship him and honor him and bring people to him. And as the widow demonstrated her faith, God demonstrates how he honors faith. God just keeps his word. You know, I'm amazed. You know, when I read verses like that, I think about, you know, again, going through the death of my father and other difficult things in my life. I mean, God never leaves me nor forsakes me. I mean, I tell you, there's never been in each one of those moments when I broke down different times in tears, and the Holy Spirit just kind of comes in and sends some comfort there. I'm with you. You'll see your father again. Lo, I'm with you. And just like Jesus told his disciples, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. You know, the Bible says, owe no man anything but to do good. You know, if we're saved and children of God, we owe it to this lost and dying world to do them good. And guess what? You don't have enough to pay them. And I don't have enough to pay them. And, you know, it's funny. Me and my brother were talking about how the generation we live in is such an entitlement generation. The new generation expects everything from them. They expect people to do them right, but they don't necessarily care if they do right or not. And so we owe it to the world to do good. But guess what? The world can't live that way. And the world has absolutely no interest in living that way. But our Father wants us to live that way. And He said, I know you can't handle that. It'll drive you crazy. There's no way you can continue to be treated like Jesus Christ and just handle it. There's no way you can give and give and love and get taken advantage of and be cursed and despitefully used. There's no way you can handle it. You'll just quit. There's no way you can do it. He said, I know that. He said, just start pouring out the oil. He said, just find some empty vessels. Because the ones that feel that way, they're empty. And they're looking for somebody to fill them. That's why they have the sense of entitlement. Why'd you bring me into this life? I'm empty. You should not have brought me here. You owe me. Since you brought me here, you should do something to help me. And so you just go to them in love. You just start pouring out. And guess what? The oil will stay. And guess what? As you continue to pour out, and even some will let what you pour out fall on the ground as if it means absolutely nothing to them. But you know what? You'll still have some oil and you'll still keep pouring. Don't lose faith in the oil. As long as you keep pouring and as long as there's empty vessels around, you'll have enough oil to be faithful until Jesus comes. So don't be afraid of commitment in relationships. Don't be afraid to commit your life to Christ. Don't be afraid to give your life, even if it means to death, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you keep pouring out, I know based on the authority. There'll be empty people around until Jesus comes. People fake it all the time. And they say, I'm not empty, man. You can't tell me nothing. But the devil is a liar. And you know, when people aren't born again, their father is the devil. So they're good at lying. So you just know. You don't have to try. I don't even try to convince you. I just say, well, let me just tell you about Jesus. Because I don't strive with him, you know. And just keep pouring out the oil. You know what it is? You know, some people will get the advantage and benefit of that oil, but whether
they take advantage of the oil or not, the one thing's for sure, for you and for me, if you're born again children of God, the oil will stay. And then he told the widow, he said, take that that you have and go pay the debt. You know, all the oil you got, he said, you go pay the debt. And then he said something, I forgot this verse, and we'll close at this. It says it's in the passage here. I stopped reading it because when I read that verse, the oil stayed, I got kind of happy and I cut it off right there. But in verse 7, it says, then after the oil had stayed, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt. And notice this here, and live. After you pour it out into every empty vessel, you can still live. And I tell you, I thank God for the life I have in Christ. I mean, the way that the Holy Spirit comforts me and strengthens me, I couldn't make myself feel this good. I thank the Lord, man. And of all the times that, and the grace of God that showered me in a time when I turned away from Him, and the times when I've been just frustrated myself, then the grace of God just keeps me in tune with Him. But God is good. I'm telling you, man. May God help us all, if you're born again now, to find some empty vessels. And maybe you're born again today, and maybe you're sitting here empty. You're thinking about how, and could I remind you that if you're born again, that oil in you really not only has the power to pay your debt, but it has power to sustain you. And has power to sustain your family, because remember, it was her sons. Her sons were free because of the oil that was in the house. And the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's Bible, right? Y'all know that? So the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the oil is there. So that oil was enough to save her life, save her son's life. And it was so valuable that other people were willing to pay for it. And so she paid her debt with it. And then she and her son lived off the rest. And God's way of living really is the way of living. Because Jesus said, I am come. He said, I'm the way, how do you say it? I'm thinking of John 10. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. See, without Christ, there is no life. There's just existence. You know, my dad wanted to die? He was ready to go because he did not want to exist. He wanted to live. And God has this message today because He knows there's some believers that are just existing. They're not really living. And He says, you know, the reason you're not really living, the reason you're just hanging on is because you're not pouring out into some empty vessels. If you'll find some empty vessels and pour out, you'll find out, number one, you'll find that the sufficiency and the power of that little, what you thought was a small pot of oil inside of you, you'll find, wow, that can actually make a difference in the lives of so many people. Because I thought about this. I ran out of time. I wanted to bring a pile of dirt up here, put it on something, and I was going to invite everybody to come take a pile of dirt and make something out of it. You can't have anything else, but just come make something out of the dirt. And if you had some water, you could shape it, couldn't you? Maybe. Or dust, because what could you make with a lump of dust? But God made you out of dust, and He made me out of dust. And we're all walking miracles. And why do we settle for such limited lives when the Bible presents to us a life that embodied in Christ is miraculous? Why do we look within ourselves too much to limit our lives instead of looking to the God that made us and say, yeah, I can do that. And yes, Father, I'll follow that. I'll do that because, wow, I know I don't have enough oil to fill those vessels. I know I don't have enough oil to help anybody in this service today. But I know He does. I know His oil can make a difference in changing my life. And those people in your apartment building, your co-workers, you don't have enough oil to change your life, but God does. So if you're here today and maybe you're looking at around you, and you look around your house, and you can't find anything. Maybe you're looking at taking inventory of your life, and you don't see anything really of value. But you know enough, and your faith is secure. You know you got life, and you know you're born again. That means you got some oil. And if you want not to live in bondage, if you don't want those around you to be in bondage, go find somebody to pour that oil in. And you'll be amazed of what that oil really can do. How far it will go. How much, pot after pot after pot. And guess what? The oil will stay. You know the greatest thing about gospel ministry? That people really, that are really born again, they stay born again. It's not some temporary fix to a problem. It's something that, it is what's called eternal life. It's not temporal. It's not just something fixed. It's eternal life. There's nothing greater in the world to be involved in that. And every single child of God has that commission to be involved in that. So, the oil stayed. And don't lose faith in the oil. Pour it out. Believe in it. And ask God for more of it. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Everybody in this room has to have some type of need. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you a question. You've heard the list of the fruits of the Spirit. Are all those blooming in your life? Is all that fruit in your life? Well, why not ask God for the Holy Spirit? Isn't it amazing? You know, if you don't have temperance, it doesn't really feel good not to have temperance. But why remain intemperate when God can help you with it? If you don't have love, why remain in that way? Why not ask God for the Holy Spirit? If you don't have joy, why not ask God for the Holy Spirit so that joy can blossom out? You know, and if you have trouble with the goodness, just doing the things that you know your Father wants you to do that are good, why not ask God for the Holy Spirit to help you? How much more should the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? But you must know Him. You must be one of His children, because one thing, God is merciful to this entire world, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is merciful to the entire world because He allowed His Son to suffer death and hell and all the disrespect and dishonor, the beatings, the mockings, the skirtings, so that every single person had the opportunity to be born again. But the one thing He won't do, you know, but he has exclusive things that are withheld just for His children. So these fruits don't belong to anybody except His children. They're available to everybody once they trust in Jesus for their salvation. But oh my soul, if you're a child of God, man, why miss out for no reason? You know, even if it were just fruit, if it were just peace, would be great enough. You know, and people would say apathy for peace. They think, well, I don't care about nothing, so. But they really don't have peace. May God help us, you know, but take advantage of what God has for us today. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this great privilege to be in this service today. I thank you for the power of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would descend upon this place. I really believe that you already have been in the midst. I just pray, Father, that your Lord, you said how much more should Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So, Father, I ask for those who are new children in this room. Father, I believe if I brought somebody to visit my house, my Father would have fed them. So, Father, would you somehow give the Holy Spirit to those of your children in this room? And would you also somehow give your children's room the faith to ask you for more of your Holy Spirit and not to be satisfied until they are full from you? If there be any that be without Christ today, God, break them free from the eternal damnation that Satan has awaiting them, that he's deceived them into thinking that that's okay. God, have mercy. And God, would you help each one of us that are your children to leave here with a purpose, to find empty vessels that we might pour the wonderful gift of life that you placed in us into them. Thank you for being such a wonderful God and Savior. We ask these things in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.